the added value of gut health markers is we look at these individuals, where usually we tend to have, in our traditional way of looking at nutrition, feed conversion, intake, weight gain, these are those metrics of the whole group of animals. But the gut health markers would look at one individual, or we can, and that's what we could recommend, to have a picture of the feeding strategy and how these individuals responded and have an idea of the diversity of this response.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Keep your feed safe from pathogens with VVC Premix. VVC Premix from DSM Firmenich is made up of ultra-pure benzoic acid and nature-identical flavorings to guard your feed and improve performance. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the SwineIt podcast. I'm your host, Trey Kellner, and today we're going to talk about gut microbiome biomarkers to see if they're applicable in commercial production. And today we're joined by Virginie Bonvillon, the Global Service Manager at AB Vista. Good afternoon, Virginie. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. I'm excited about this conversation. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, sure. So I was born and raised in France. All my background has been in France. And I did graduate as an agronomist back there. And I got quite quickly involved into the world of animal nutrition. So because I did an apprenticeship during my graduation and went on with the Premix company who hired me to do my PhD. And then I was really working into poultry nutrition. So that's where I started doing some modeling work and trying to predict the growth performance of the animals, etc. And personal projects took me to Canada on the other side of the Atlantic. And here I've been here for 14 years now. I've worked for the feed industry, discovered a bit of how the world in poultry nutrition is in North America. And I like to discover new things. So I moved into quality and got quite involved in feed mill quality assurance programs, etc. Until a few years ago, I really wanted to reconnect with kind of the global experience and having connections with different colleagues from around the world. So I moved into the feed additive industry. And that's where, from nutrition, I got much more involved into the gut health area, which is a whole new things to discover. And there's a lot to learn there. So I've been working for AB Vista for 4 years now. And yes, pretty much involved into the gut health in monogastrics, particularly.
AB Vista, an innovative animal nutrition company offering intelligent solutions for the swine industry. The combination of innovative products, technical expertise, and cutting-edge services provide the ideal tools to drive pig production. To learn more about AB Vista tools, check abvista.com.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for that introduction. So let's just start really, really big picture. And gut health has been a term that's been used maybe over the past 5 to 6 years. And some people have a little bit of a grasp on it. And even technical people like myself are like, there's a whole bunch of variation and a whole bunch of unknown when we talk about the buzzword gut health. So what's your definition of gut health? And then once that definition is given, how do you think that we could be more successful, and what could we gain by measuring it in our day-to-day production practices?
Yes, actually, I would say if we're going to really look into the commercial application, I think that that's really the intention of our discussion today. And looking at gut health from a commercial standpoint, it's really about ensuring that the animal are in a good status so they can grow properly. There's no waste of energy, and they will limit as much as possible the disease incidence managed pathogens load so they can grow properly and with a good welfare also, right? Because proper gut health also links to welfare. So I think in the industry, it's still something new. We tend to think that if we look at gut health, we're going to answer lots of questions, but it's still quite complex. I'm not sure where to start, actually, because that it raises lots of questions and it's lots of exploration, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, one of those deals when you step aside and go like, oh, there's more variation within our own, you know, gut microflora and our pigs, you know, microflora than there is maybe in genomic diversity across, you know, the entire North America, you know, pig production, right? So just that variation alone makes it difficult yet fun at the same time. So let's drill down a little bit. What specific markers have you kind of identified that you think that should be relevant for us to start looking for?
So far, there has been lots of research around gene sequencing. So looking at the whole bacteria profile. But I think the area of application is really much focused on the function of the microbiome. So markers which would explain more of how the microbiome is playing a role and affecting the health and the performance of the animals. So we can see that these markers are pretty much similar to what we see in humans. I would say, for instance, butyric acid, we hear a lot about butyric acid as a short-chain fatty acid, which plays a big role in inflammation, regulation of inflammation response, and it also provides energy to the host, because the animal or the human also is the host to these bacteria. So there are short-chain fatty acid markers which are of interest. And butyrate is a good one, which we want to have and promote thanks to some specific bacteria which would produce butyric acid. And on the other hand, the short-chain fatty acid we would not want as much would be a branched-chain fatty acids, for instance, which reflect protein fermentation. So what we don't want is those bacteria to take advantage of the undigested amino acids in the lower gut getting fermented, because that's eventually promoting pathogen overgrowth, right? And those BCFAs are well known also in humans as being markers of protein fermentation. So I think this is where there's an interest in looking at the function of the microbiome. And a more recent one is our inflammation markers. So markers of acute inflammation, which we can detect more locally at the gut level. And in swine, of interest is calprotectin. Calprotectin has been showing good repeatability to illustrate the inflammation response. And actually, even in post-weaning transition, we know there's a change in the diet, there's a change in the microbiome, it's a stressful time for the animals. And this calprotectin tends to get very high during the first weeks post-weaning. So we can evaluate through different strategies how we can reduce this this inflammation response and allow the piglet to establish his robust microbiome more quickly. So this is quite a recent one, which we see more and more in the literature and showing good response.
So Virginie, one thing that I've kind of thought about is, you know, kind of this new frontier of AI and maybe the ability for it to help us break down and summarize data and analyze data. What are you kind of working on, or what's maybe AB Vista working on in terms of potentially using AI or some robust data mining in terms of helping us sample what's happening at the SLAT level?
It's an interesting question. And I think when we want to get involved with AI is also the decision to make. I tend to use more of a traditional type of approach so far, because there is a lot of unknown. And the approach we've decided to use is select fewer markers, but the ones we know would have a response. So rather than collecting a bunch of data throwing that into AI and looking for machine learning models, we tend to select the markers which are of relevance and then try to establish laws of response. So I'm more, that's maybe my modeling background, but that's what I've inquired quite a lot on this, in understanding how, for instance, a bacteria family would relate to butyric acid production. And that links to looking into the literature and understanding then how we connect one with the other. I've got good examples, for instance, on lactic acid bacteria and butyric producing bacteria, where we find that there's kind of a balance we need to show and we need to find which would allow the animal to be in a good state of balance. Maybe I can explain. The lactic acid bacteria are the ones which would produce lactic acid. And this lactic acid is actually a substrate to the animal. And one of the bacteria families which are using lactic acid as a substrate are Lactobacillus, which are butyrate producers. So they are the main butyrate producers, one of the main ones. So we see that there's a balance between lactic acid production and butyrate, or lactic acid production, so it's enough of a substrate, so you can produce the butyrate, etc. But if you overstimulate lactic acid bacteria, eventually that's to the detriment of those butyrate producers, which are very sensitive. So it's all a matter of balance, right? And I'm not sure that AI at this point, or at least with the approach we use of refining, selecting specific markers, would give so much. There's still a need to collect a lot of data. And then maybe that's at this point where we can go further and beyond through AI. But it's a decision, you know, there's never right or wrong. It's kind of an approach which is different. I know gene sequencing has been really much of a challenge because, you know, the diversity of the microbiome is huge. And actually, I like to say we tend to have, you know, I don't know if you have a pet, but it's very likely that you have a microbiome which is much more similar, or microbiota which is similar to your pet than the two of us as humans. So we're pretty much influenced by the environment. So there's no good recipe. You can eat different type of diets, but at the end of the day, your function is the same. And that's where we are very similar, is in our function. Basic statement is our temperature, glucose level, you know, and this is our homeostasis and the state of balance that we all meet as a species, okay?
Fortiva is moving beyond feed additives to create foundational ingredients that work with your pig's physiology to support resilience and health. With proven technologies like Ambateen, Flow Matrix, and Endura, Fortiva helps you address the toughest challenges in swine production, from gut health to growth performance. Together, we can make animals more resilient in the face of future challenges. Learn how at FortivaImpact.com.
So, Virginie, so let's shift a little bit, right? So I'm a production swine nutritionist. So let's just say I want to measure, you know, kind of the baseline status of my herd or barns, and I'm looking at incorporating a nutritional strategy to try to improve gut health, right? So how would I be best to maybe, you know, collect samples or have my team collect samples, et cetera, at the SLAT level to help me answer some of the questions that we've talked about so far today?
Yeah, good question. And it's very interesting in swine because we have the advantage of being able to collect feces. So non-invasive method, which we can repeat over time on the animals. And it's quite a long production cycle. So we can basically monitor over time within a growth cycle how things evolve and get a better understanding then of how is the nutritional strategy I'm using impacting the microbiome. On the opposite, we can also test a feeding strategy and realize that it has not impacted so much the microbiome. So we could also decide of withdrawing or removing, simplifying the diet that's also an approach, particularly with so many feed additives we have on the market, where sometimes we're not sure mode of actions, how they are compatible, one against the other, etc. And as I was mentioning, a state of balance is important. As an example, again, maybe I can go again on the post-weaning transition, because it's such a critical time. And it's a good way to start, because weaning is a very specific day to the animal, and we all know the challenge the animals face, and they are transitioning from a meal-based diet to a fiber-based diet. So then we can explore different strategies on a short period of time of 3-4 weeks, 5 weeks in this transition, collect feces and look at how fast, with our feeding strategy, how fast did the animal adapt and establish a fiber-based microbiome, switching from this meal-based diet to the fiber-based diet. So feces is a very simple way of collecting samples. And I would recommend at least 8 samples within a group of animals. So we look at the response of these animals and how the markers connect together, and have an idea also of the diversity of these responses. Okay. And this is something maybe we can discuss a bit further, because of the added value of gut health markers is we look at these individuals, where usually we tend to have, in our traditional way of looking at nutrition, feed conversion, intake, weight gain, these are those metrics of the whole group of animals. But the gut health markers would look at one individual, or we can, and that's what we could recommend, to have a picture of the feeding strategy and how these individuals responded, and have an idea of the diversity of this response. Because sometimes we have laggers where we would like them to catch up more easily, more quickly. It's part of the feeding strategy.
And Virginie, like, speaking of laggers, as you mentioned, those, you know, kind of historic or traditional KPIs that we all use, average daily gain, feed conversion, caloric conversion, right? Those are all things that happen after the closeout, right? So on a wean to finish scale, you're making adjustments based off the data that you're getting in closeouts 5 or 6 months after you incorporated that feed program, right? So talk a little bit, you know, just briefly about, hey, this might be futuristic. This might be 5, 10 years, 15 years down the frontier. But talk about how cool it might be to be able to take a biomarker and be able to get some lead measurements instead of just, you know, waiting to see, yeah, did this additive program or this enzyme program or whatever it may be work or not work, and not have that answer for maybe 6 or 12 months.
Yeah. And when we test strategies, and particularly additives, I would say related to improving gut health, reinforcing the immune response, it's very tricky to just remain at the scale of one flock, one herd, you know, one flow, because maybe nothing happened. And then we didn't see a difference in terms of performance because there was no event that triggered some challenges to the animal. But as we go over time and look at a longer time scale, that maybe 2-3 years after, we realize, what have I done? Because now I'm out of control of this environment, and there has been all these pathogens growing and repeatedly having this diarrhea or other issues in the cell farms, right? So the advantage of the gut health marker is that there at this point in time, which we have to think ahead, when should I measure? What do I want to look at? Collect the samples, understand what's happening inside the animals. And again, we're talking about a response of the animal to a strategy, which gives us a bit of more context to how the production has been going on. It's hard still to have like instant results, but looking into the future, we hope that we would have quick tools which would allow to provide us with results almost instantaneously. And I think that would be very promising because then we can associate a marker with an event which is likely to happen, which is when AI is very, very interesting, actually, as a predictive tool in a sense. I'm not sure we're there yet, because first we need to understand what is going on, and the context is so different anytime. The diets are different, the additives are different, the ambient conditions are different. And you know, every cycle is different within one bound. So that's the complexity, I think, of our industry. But I definitely think that those markers can help already not give a clear answer, but stimulate us in better understanding and raising the right questions.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Virginie, it's very fun to think about. Here's where we're currently at. And here's, you know, where it's helpful today. It's really fun to think about, you know, 5 to 20 years from now, you know, what potential impact, you know, this type of discussion and what your team's working on as well can potentially provide. So yeah, it's fun. It's something that keeps the mind sharp for sure, right?
Oh yeah, keeps us busy.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Vaxinova, formulate to your needs. Custom-made vaccines. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Why risk it? Your herd may have antigenic gaps that are not being covered by the products currently available. Custom-made vaccines provide a unique advantage in that they can be formulated to a herd's specific bacterial and viral needs. Choose the exact isolates, adjuvant, packaging, and size you need with Vaxinova for a vaccine formulated to your needs. Find out more by visiting us at vaxinova.us.com. That's vaxinova.us.com.
Well, hey, I love ending podcasts on kind of a little different note. So I kind of have four questions for you, Virginie, so our audience can get to know you better. So if they see you at a conference or something like that, they know a little bit about you and are a little bit more comfortable to come up and ask you some more technical questions like we would today. So Virginie, first I'm going to ask you, what's the one thing in your career that you're the most proud of that you overcame?
Oh, the most proud of? I would say a recent one is actually developing with AB Vista our gut health service, you know, not being afraid of challenging ourselves, getting into new things. And even if we are all in a hurry of finding responses, making sure that we slow down, think twice before we move forward. And I would say we've got to a point here of understanding gut health markers, because we've been patients and listening to the people and interacting with the industry. And that has been a great accomplishment recently in my professional career. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. All right. Question two, if you had a magic wand and you could break down one research hurdle that either you're working on or our industry is working on, et cetera, and you could have that answer be solved instantaneously, which one would you pick today?
It would be some key performance indicators, which to be established on those markers to have the ability of giving green, yellow, red lights to our customers and tech managers to help them make the best decisions as to what's going to happen in their herds.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd sign me up for that. That's a good pick for sure. All right, third question is, we finally made it to summer. It's like 91 degrees Fahrenheit here in West Central Iowa with a lot of humidity. So let's think positive here. What's your favorite thing to do in the summertime?
Oh, I love hiking. So I go here I'm located in Quebec. It's not that that warm of a weather. Once the mosquitoes are gone, I really love going hiking and take my backpack and go by myself and my dog for 3 days out in the woods. Yeah, and just connect with nature and myself. I really love that.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, last question. If you had one piece of advice to pass on to a young professional, what would that be?
I would say, listen. Listen and be an inquirer. Ask questions. Try to understand why someone thinks this way. What and try to understand those different positions. And I think listening is really the start to a successful career and connections in our professional life. Yeah, this is the word.
Yeah, great share. Thank you. Virginie, before we conclude, any parting message that you'd like to provide to our audience that you didn't have the opportunity to go over?
I would say, even if we talk about gut health and health and nutrition, sometimes it can be a bit scary to make the step from nutrition to health. We don't need to be a vet, and I'm not a vet. I don't have experience in microbiology. I'm learning in the field. I really think that as an industry, we just have to take the step and give it a try and leave our comfort zone and start to understand. And I'm sure this will be very helpful. And I hope companies and universities can just keep connecting to provide more understanding around this area. So I'm looking forward to the next years around this this topic.
For sure. Well, Virginie, thank you so much for your time and the great discussion. I know I learned a thing or two, and I'm sure our audience did as well. So with that, that concludes this episode of the SwineNet podcast. Virginie, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate.
Yep. And you can check out our podcast every week on Tuesday, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts as well. So with that, hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.